Have you ever been seduced by the idea of a fresh start? A clean page, the turning of a new leaf? Have you ever gotten caught up in thinking about a decision or choice you've made and wished, longed for a do-over? Have you ever been tempted by the alluring myth that we can, as an act of will, discard our former selves, choose to wipe out what was, and start again? Reinvent ourselves in the hope that things will turn out differently this time. Today's Genesis story is a bit like that. The writer of Genesis tells us that God is deeply disappointed by the way that created human life has turned out, disappointed by people's evil ways, their corruption, and their violence. God is full of regret. In taking decisive action, God opts for a clean slate, chooses to wipe out humanity, along with all living things, and start over. This is the great flood, from which only faithful Noah and his family and two of each of all of the animals are saved. The flood is the ultimate do-over, an extreme act of will made possible by an extreme act of power. Now, we might be inclined to focus on the righteousness of Noah in this story, as it's Noah's righteousness that spares him and his family from a watery end. But looking only here, we miss much of the teaching that's hidden between the lines. The significance of the incalculable loss of life, the suffering that was necessary for this clean slate reality to come about. There was enormous cost to the world getting a fresh start. A massive price was paid by all the life lost. The world essentially getting to start again just wasn't possible without hideous and painful cost and consequence. Jewish scholars suggest this dramatic story marks a critical shift in God's self-understanding. They suggest that this is its focus, rather than it serving as a cautionary tale that speaks directly to humanity's need for change. After all, after the flood, humans don't really change. But once the waters dry up, God makes the first covenant with Noah and with Noah's descendants and with all of creation that there will never again be a catastrophic flood, that is, a catastrophic wiping out of all that is in order to start again. Never again will there be a catastrophic flex of power that justifies suffering as necessary to bring change. This Genesis story has us pay attention to power and to choice, specifically in response to things gone wrong. It's significant that after the flood, God chooses and commits through covenantal promise never again to use the brutal power of total destruction to force change. Anyone with the capacity to make a decision has some power. Inevitably, in a human-made and utterly imperfect society, some will make far more decisions than others. Power is most definitely not held equally among us. But we do each get to make some decisions. And with each decision, however seemingly small or trivial, we get to choose how we live into the covenant into which we entered when we were baptized into the Christian faith. This covenant, too, our baptismal covenant, binds power and choice and guides how we respond to things gone wrong. In our scriptural texts, the Hebrew word for covenant is often associated with the word for loving kindness, faithfulness. And this association is really important because it points to the life-giving promise of covenant. It is relational. It sets covenant as an insurance, an assurance of ongoing life and relationship. And it depends on love. This is how power is bound in our foundational stories. After the flood, the limitless power of God is acknowledged and it's held bound by covenant for the purpose of ongoing life. And so change, still so needed, must now be chosen, taken on as a process, change as transformation. Change is ushered in now through healing and restoration and not obliteration or annihilation. Yet ours is a culture of quick fixes and 30-day plans, new year, new yous. This dominant culture of ours still tells us a story of our unbounded personal power. Power that can and should be channeled into decisive acts of will. Want to see change? Just do it. Decisive change is what matters, whatever the collateral damage. It surely is tempting to flex our own power and force change, force the conditions for something new, in the hopes that something better might come into being, whether it be in the realm of our own lives or our own bodies, or in the realm of family or workplace or wider community. It is tempting to deploy an act of will and use what really is the violence of force, because force of any kind is always a violence. The great biblical myths, our ancient and foundational stories, endure because they still have so much to teach us. We still have so much to learn. Just as the first Genesis story of creation narrates a process of becoming, each step of creation, each day, arising only because of the day that came before it. So the creation and the recreation of our own selves, our own becoming, the recreation of our own world, each aspect of transformation is entirely dependent on our responses to the actions and the decisions and the delights and the failings and the sorrows and the learnings, everything that brings us to this moment. How do we respond? How do we respond to the imperfections of our own lives? Or to the things we'd love to change about the people we share our lives with? How do we respond to all the things we wish were different in the world around us? With the demanding violence of a forced will? Or with faithfulness and loving kindness and an unwavering trust in the presence and an accompaniment of God in it all? We entered into this season of Lent this past Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, and we prayed that God create in us new and contrite hearts. This newness we pray for is not an erasure of everything that came before. It is not a clean slate newness, a snap change. This is a newness of becoming. As we examine our habits of mind and action and commit to bring ourselves in confidence and through faith into healing and restoration, into our assured and life-giving relationship, our covenant with God and one another as living members of Christ's body. Our power bound and liberated by our own covenantal promises, our choice to commit to a faithful life of love and care, in which we relentlessly and non-violently strive for change, strive for justice and for peace for all.